Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are flying by the seat of our pants, grabbing papers and shuffling them about at the last minute and simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet, and a lot of other things too, I guess.
Road closures, at least.
That's right.
Yeah, we participated today in the Sunday Parkways event here in Portland, Oregon, and I'm actually going to introduce Meredith Stewart. Brandon just tossed his cue card across the room because he is done with it.
That's right.
This is our good friend Meredith Stewart. She's joining us for the program tonight. Hello, Meredith.
Hello.
And thank you for being here. Meredith was also on the Sunday Parkways thing. So, you can chime in at any point, I guess, to talk about that now that we've mentioned your presence. Otherwise, no one would know who you are. So,
thank you.
But yeah, Sunday Parkways, Portland, Oregon. This is the first of five this year, or six, I think it's five.
Five.
Yeah, because there's five, sure. Five neighborhoods or boroughs,
five,
if you will.
Five quadrants.
Here in Portland, yeah. Which coincidentally is the best restaurant name, Fifth Quadrant.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Run by one of my favorite breweries, the Lompoc Brewery mm-hmm. Company.
Yeah.
The Sunday Parkways event was great because they have outlined a course. They go through neighborhoods and parks and other spots in town and shut down the streets to automobile traffic so people can go out and pretend they live in the Dutch country or somewhere in South America or any other place where bicycles can roam free and they get their due respect.
Free, so free-range bicycles.
Free-range bicycling. That's exactly impressive. What happened out there today.
Well, yeah.
Yes. It was fun. We have a large trailer. We have a very big cargo trailer that a friend.
So maybe a 4-foot by 8-foot trailer.
Yes, I think
that's
probably about it.
Basically,
it's huge. Yeah. Yeah. And I think if I remember correctly, it was someone that did a work trade with Brian, the Rasta man, who mm-hmm. Is both crazy and awesome and genius. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he was the guy that built the big bike RV that many people that live in Portland have seen. If they've been around the past couple of years, they remember seeing a large device. It was like
it's a big silvery box on wheels with like it looked like a Dr. Seuss thing meets like a trash compactor or something. It was really odd.
Very much so.
Like had an umbrella poking out of it. And
right.
It was parked across from City Bikes, as I recall.
The Workers Cooperative.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was cool because he, being a genius and being, you know, unique, he was very concerned with the structural, just all the aspects of getting the thing to hold together and hold cargo well. And so it's got, all these trusses running underneath it and a large triangular framework and all that. And, so yeah, he put a lot of time and work into making this thing hold together and work out well. And yeah, so we've used it for several bike moves. My wife and I, moving from place to place here in Portland, we at one point probably had like 600 pounds worth of furniture and books and personal belongings on it.
Mm-hmm. And today we put we bungeed a lawn chair
yeah.
to the top of it and joined the roaming masses.
The teeming throng.
I had mine removed. But yeah, and pulled each other along playing various musical instruments. So Brock
right.
playing the little traveler's guitar and your wife playing the, what is that? It's like a piano that you blow on?
It's a melodica, oh, yeah. Yeah. At one point on the circuit of the whole thing, we were stopped by the local news station, K2, I believe is the television station. And you found it on the internet about half an hour ago.
Yes, the internet, Brock.
Yeah, it's a connected series of tubes down which your information flows.
That's right.
But
composed largely of cats. Yeah, so if you want to see Brock and the trailer, you can... Yeah. We'll put a link up to it for K2.
And our friend Rod. And yeah, the quote was, the reporter asked him, what's a melodica? And he's like, oh, it's like a piano that you blow on.
Which is a fair summary.
It really is. So, if you haven't seen a melodica, it's like a harmonica, except it's got a keyboard. And there's only one hole for your breath to go through as opposed to multiple. So
yeah. And it sounds like somewhere in between, like, I guess, Amelie soundtrack and like a carnival merry-go-round type thing.
Very European.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah,
like the Netherlands country place.
Like the Dutch country.
Yeah, that's something.
I'm not going to let myself live that down, that I couldn't remember the name of Holland. So there we go.
But it was a good time. We got to see a lot of people out there. And,
that's right.
Make people smile.
Yeah. Well, the the
people making us smile, too.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of folks out there, including the pirate.
Yar.
Mm-hmm. the quote that they captured on the television news segment was, "I'm a bikineer."
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious. So I don't know if he's actually part of the pirate collective here in Portland or not, but he should be if he's not.
Yeah. And we get to see a lot of Sprocket friends out there as well.
Yeah. The second time we went out, right? It was the first time we went out with the bike trailer. And we saw friends of ours and that sort of thing. But we were basically just going out and kind of either making fools of ourselves or having a good time or both. The second time out, we left the big trailer at home and just took our regular bikes out. And yeah, at that point we saw, try to list them all off. First of all, Amos, in PDX, who is a listener of ours, we've corresponded with a couple times, and he's part of the bike temple. And he's actually, I guess, a deacon. And I'm not sure if he's an actual deacon with another religious order or if he's actually the deacon of the bike temple. I'm guessing it's the deacon of the bike temple, but we're open to clarifications. And yeah, so we met him, had a great conversation with he and his crew at the bike temple tent. And after that, we went up to, I'm trying to remember.
So we saw Russ.
Russ and Laura,
yeah
from Pathless Pedal. Yeah.
And Logan was hanging out with them.
Yeah, Logan from Rowdy Kittens. Listener, it's not Eileen, Evelyn.
Yeah.
And one other fellow.
Oh, and then we bumped into Jonathan Moss.
And Jonathan Moss.
He saw you and called you over.
That's right, yeah. So thanks, Jonathan, for saying hello. Actually, when we had the trailer out, we saw Rob Sadowski of the BTA at the tent.
Yeah.
And I hollered to him. And I kind of felt bad because we didn't stop and talk. We just hollered. It was like, "Are you Rob Sadowski?" "Yeah." And then I said, "You know, you're going to be on our show in a little while."
Hey.
I think he's in for, I think, for August. So we'll be talking to him at some point. But Rob, thanks. And don't take it personally. We just had a big, heavy trailer and we couldn't stop. So.
Yeah, it was a really fun day between getting to make music and dodge pirates. And
meet
old friends and new.
Totally. I was impressed by all the policemen and police women, all the police workers in town.
Police folk.
Whatever gender they might be, who...
transgendered police officers.
I'm very conscious of my gender language because Meredith is here in the room and she's a stickler for that. So
thank you, Brock.
Yeah, I'm doing my best.
Good job.
Thank you.
Lighten up, man.
But no, the police force in Portland was actually largely very very cordial. They were very supportive of the whole event.
Said thank you to every single one that we passed.
I did. I think I bumped into one at the very end of the day after the ride was over, and they were like they weren't kicking down the signs, but
kicking down the bicyclists actually. That was
no, but they were just pulling down the street closure signs so that cars could drive through again. And the fellow, I think, as I was having hot cocoa a couple blocks from our house, there was some kids with their mom. I think that was they were selling hot cocoa out of a maybe it was in a teapot, I think, but they had a little tent and they were selling it for a dollar. So I went back and said, "Hey, hot cocoa, that's awesome." And it was fantastic. Oh, I was going to the policeman stories where I was going with that. Anyways, he came by on a motorcycle and he said, "You know, we're opening the streets back to traffic, so just be careful out there and make sure you stop at the stop signs." And then he proceeded on his way. And
what a nice man.
He was a nice man.
What a nice young man.
He really was. I have the utmost respect for the way the police comported themselves today. So
yeah, for real.
And Brandon, I noticed that you have. I noticed that you're anticipating the opening of the beer. You have the opener in your
hand.
Well,
if we're going to have this great conversation about our wonderful day, I really want to be drinking a beer while we do it.
I think it's about time that open that bottle in front of you.
All right.
And I don't have a bottle of my own, so I think I think you're going to share some with me, which is nice of you.
Yes. My fiance.
And that's not just me like corning in and now saying
no,
it.
It's good.
Brandon actually offered this to me before we started recording the show. So.
My fiance Candace recommended this to me. It's the Fire Station 5 Fireboat Amber Ale with a Diligence medallion on it. I don't know what's up with the medallion, but that's cool. And 5.5% alcohol by volume. And
Firehouse is from Tacoma, aren't they? They're at Tacoma Washington Brewery. I could be wrong about that, but
Olympia.
Olympia. Yeah. Really? Okay.
So you and I will be drinking that.
Up there around the Puget Sound region.
Aye.
Yeah. And Meredith, what are you drinking right now?
Red wine.
Awesome.
Three Wishes.
Oh, thank you.
Three Wishes.
Three Wishes Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. So
from Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. Ooh. That's Brandon's. Is it your alma mater? If you, it's not. You didn't go to school there.
No.
The School of Hard Knocks, maybe.
Yeah. Hi.
But yeah, it was. It's just the place that you used to work. And I remember the day that you quit, you came home with a huge case. You had like three cases of wine, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you're not
going
to have...
One of them's for the wedding and the other... Or one of them's for here and the other's for the wedding. So.
All right. Which wedding is that, Brennan?
Mine.
Yeah?
The...
Yeah, you're getting married in... you're counting the days, I'm sure, but that's September.
Middle
so.
Of September, yeah.
Yeah. I can't. I have no idea how many months that is, and I'm not going to count them out now.
No.
Well, let's... why don't we... Nice. That's
sorry.
That's okay. It scared me. I thought something was happening.
No.
But nothing was happening. All right. why don't we roll the headlines music and we can discuss the meager few that I found today. Oh, this is local artist Hurtbird, by the way. Hurtbird
what
music.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
.com.
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the day.
All right. First up, Northwest Wanderer has an article about making electronics viable on a bicycle tour.
Yeah. This is the fellow that put together the Cycle Wild organization, Matt. And he's just getting ready to go out on a big cross-country bicycle tour. He's actually, I believe, doing the Transamerica route, if I'm not mistaken. The very first bicycle route all the way across the United States that was instituted by the Adventure Cycling Association, based out of Montana. But, yeah, he's going out and taking that long trip. And he's got an excellent explanation of, I think he's got some solar-powered devices.
Sweet.
Or some solar devices.
I'm, like, totally excited about those.
Yeah, for generating power for your other personal electronics. So I think the electronic laptop as opposed to the mechanical laptop.
You have to crank it?
Yeah, he's bringing his computer and I would imagine a couple other things that need charging from time to time. And so he's come up with a couple different ways to put power into those devices.
Great.
So, yeah. And while you're there, you can also give him a couple bucks for his trip if you are so inclined. So check that out.
Great. Next up is... Oh, a horn, evidently.
That was awesome.
There we go. Let's do that one. from Edible Cycles, inexpensive local electricity generator for your bicycle dyno hub.
Yeah, this is... there's just a company that I heard about a couple of days ago, and possibly would be a guest later on. I think we haven't scheduled it yet, but talked to the fellow that runs Edible, and it sounds like he's interested in talking with us, so you may hear from him soon. He's put together this little... It's basically, if you have a dyno hub... What's the dyno hub is a little device that goes in your front wheel, and as your wheel turns, it generates electricity. So he's put a little thing together that converts the energy coming out of that, which, first of all, you could use for lights and that sort of thing on your bike. He's a little cheap, fairly inexpensive. It's like $100, 100 something, little more, converts that energy into a current and voltage. Don't know much about electricity, so I'm not sure if those are the correct terms or not. But he
turns it into magic.
He turns it into magic that powers all of your fancy
cool
devices. So you want to charge your cell phone, your iPod, your iPad, your other thing that needs electricity, you can plug it into this machine. Anything that you
Android,
that's right. Anything you charge off of a USB, and it's just this little. It's not homemade, but it's just a little small production run. Yeah. Little device that makes that
great
happen. So, yeah, he's a good guy.
Wonderful.
So that's what we found on the internet. I'm sure there will be more, but
that's right.
Yeah,
so
we'll take care of that.
Internet.
There's also, Brandon just pointed out to me with a sly little note written on his note sheet that we got a call from somebody.
I wrote it down so we didn't have that, but it's all right.
But I want to point out that, Brandon, you, sir, are the person that keeps me on track. You're the one that tells me what has to happen and what I've forgotten.
And when our friends talk to us, we have to let them talk. Yeah.
That's right. So this was the story of a couple days ago. It was a couple weeks ago, months even maybe, when we were out on just in our yard doing something, you know, and somebody was cycling down the Springwater corridor and the chain broke on their bike. And so you, Brandon, discovered a whole group of people, I think, right? They were just standing around looking at something. They weren't eating lunch or swapping jokes.
Yeah, we're across the street from the Springwater corridor, and they were just standing around.
So this group of people was looking very somber, and so Brandon says, "Hey, what's up?" And they say, "Well, we broke a chain, and we can't go anywhere." So basically, it was a group of people training for the, I want to say Hood to Coast, but that's the foot race. Reach the Beach, I think is what they call it. Yeah, it's the big bike ride from, it's as much as 100 miles, and I'm not sure which bracket they were going for. I think they were going for the whole ride. But anyways, it goes from somewhere near Portland or Tigard or McMinnville out to the Oregon coast, and they end up in Pacific City. And these folks were training for that, but with a broken chain, they weren't going anywhere. So, I pulled out a bike tool, and I've done a few chain repairs before, so I was able to remove a link and put that thing back together, and they got back on the road. And so Caitlin, just this weekend, when the Reach the Beach event was happening, gave us a call, and this is her message.
Hi, this is Caitlin. I am calling in because a few weeks back I was biking on the Springwater corridor and had a broken chain, and you guys fixed it. And it was a training bike ride for Reach the Beach, and me and my friends have just reached the beach. Thank you so much for your help, and yeah, biking's great. Thanks. Bye.
Biking is great. And Caitlin, we're glad you and your crew made it all the way out to the beach and finished up. So good work to you. Congratulations. Do we have a sign that, a sound that would congratulate them? You have done awesome things,
let's
people.
Let's try this one.
Out hustling everybody else.
That's right. That's what they're doing. So anyways.
The president says this.
Congratulations, Caitlin and your whole crew for going out and doing a big bike ride. Yeah, that's everything we've got as far as small business, small potatoes. So why don't we introduce our guest of the night,
that's
Meredith
right.
Stewart, with
it's okay. There was a pause.
I was going to say with a fanfare.
Let's try it again.
Let's introduce our guest with a fanfare. Meredith Stewart.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Thanks again for joining us tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you were going to tell us a little bit about several things. The really big exciting story that we've got coming up is the transit adventure that you had. On my recommendation, I think you had said, hey, is there a way to get from here to there without a car? And I said, I think there is. And you went out and tried it, and it was exciting.
It was.
So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first off, you haven't always been a bicyclist. You haven't always been a bicycle commuter. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how that started for you? Like, was it peer pressure?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, you got a lot of people around you that bike, right?
Yeah, basically what happened is I moved to Portland, you know, that was the start. And
it's a bicycling city.
It is. And I didn't have a car. And so everyone said, oh, well, do you bike, or you should bike, or get on a bike? And I was like, are you crazy? That's like death. You're going to get run over by a car. I was not into the idea at all.
And you grew up, where were you more accustomed to living?
Well, I grew up in Fresno, California.
Fresno.
Yes, which is mostly a car city, you know.
Not really bicycle friendly.
Not bicycle friendly, not a good bus system either. It's pretty much car.
Yeah.
Well, I lived in Eugene for a while, but then I also lived in Las Vegas, which is really not a bicycle city.
Not at all?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, it's not even a pedestrian city. It's actually the worst city, I think, to be a pedestrian in the country, possibly, or it used to be. So,
and actually, as even transit cities go, I've heard that Las Vegas' transit system is really tough to navigate as well.
It's probably just the shuttles from the...
No, well, it has a transit system.
Okay.
It is difficult to use, but mostly because the city was built for cars, and so the city blocks are just really wide. The city is very spread out, so
it's huge.
Yeah, it is. So, most of the places I've lived in my life were very car centric. I never really liked cars, and I'm kind of poor, so I finally just last August got my first third of a car that I'm sharing with two friends.
You're going to get the other half some other day.
The other two thirds, maybe someday.
It's
don't know.
That's... Johnny Cash song. They got it one piece at a time. Sneaking it out in his lunchbox.
Yeah, so I am doing a car share now, but basically I've never owned my own car. So mostly survived by living close to where I had to go to school or whatever. Yeah. Work,
which
so.
Is also not a bad way to go. I mean, walkable yeah. lifestyle is okay.
It is. It was great, but that wasn't happening for me in Portland. I work in Vancouver.
Oh, and it's the city most of us don't like to talk about.
Yes. Well,
I like Vancouver a lot. I mean, there's a lot of good things.
It is. Yeah. I really love my work environment there. It's wonderful. Overall worth the commute, but it is mm-hmm. not, I cannot walk there.
Yeah, it's got a cute downtown.
It does. It has a really cute downtown.
It's a long ways away from our downtown.
It is a long ways away from our downtown. So, yeah. So basically it started out wanting a cheap way to get to work. I was not working in Vancouver for a while. I was only living about 6 miles away from work, maybe even less. And it was the summer and I was taking the bus, which was, you know, I could get there pretty easily on the bus, but it was costing me like $4 a day to just not use it very much. I wasn't going that far.
Was it not happy either? Like you're just kind of sitting there and wondering when you would arrive? And
yeah, I mean, it was kind of a pain. I didn't have to transfer, so it wasn't, I've definitely had worse bus commutes, but it didn't seem like I was really getting my money's worth out of it to be on the bus for like 15 minutes each way.
Yeah,
and that
you have to buy the full price fare.
Yeah you know, the full price fare is worth it if you're going really far, but I wasn't, so
you can work out the per mile cost.
Yeah, if I did, I mean a car would have been probably a lot cheaper for that short of a distance.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was kind of frustrating. So I finally, someone gave me a bike and,
did you have to learn how to go through traffic and all that sort of stuff? Or
yeah.
Somebody help you, or was it just throwing you into the pool?
Well, Brock here gave me a map of the bicycle routes.
That's right, yeah.
And so I definitely wasn't biking in traffic. I was biking all the very safe bicycle routes.
Yeah, all the green streets on the map.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was like through Clinton and through Laurelhurst. I was going through just these really steep hills up and down because I was afraid to take any of this like flatter, higher traffic streets. But so I just tried it out and I was very, very slow at first. I would basically coast every chance I got, like any time I could.
Your legs get tired. You got to give them a break.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I basically did not exercise before this point, basically at all in my life. Too busy reading books or something. So
books, yeah.
They're
worth their time.
They
now
you
are.
Get audiobooks. So,
They're worth your time, but they don't give you much exercise. So.
Right.
So I wasn't in very good shape or anything.
Just get bigger books.
Bigger books, yeah. That was my problem, yeah. Yep. I was reading all these thin volumes of poetry, yep. Nothing.
There you go. Need War and Peace.
Yeah. I'll remember
tote that around with you. You'll get in shape.
Yeah, so I just kept at it mostly because I was cheap and I didn't want to pay the $4 at first. But it was summer, so it was a really nice summer. It was just beautiful outside, and I started getting these sort of what do they call that?
Epiphanies.
Well, it was like an epiphany. Yeah. It was like a bike epiphany. It was endorphins. That's what they
are.
There we
go.
Getting endorphins.
The natural high of being out and being in motion.
Yeah, and just...
Once you try, you'll never go back.
Yeah, basically, it really was very good for my physical and mental health, and I really loved it. And I was like, wow, why haven't I done this before? Like, this is kind of one way that my life was very sort of imbalanced, was not having that sort of part to my well-being. So... it was really a huge gift, and I got really excited about it and started biking more and more. It was pretty much, you know, then I moved a little farther away from work, so I was going 9 miles each way instead of six. So that helped me kind of gradually build up more and to where I could eventually make the trip to Vancouver.
All the way, all the way. Bicycle.
Yeah, on bicycle and back.
Because that's like 20 miles for you, right? From here where you live now.
Yeah, it's like 18.
Okay, yeah. And you're
like
just
that.
Down the street from us. So you and I actually have very similar commutes in a lot of ways because I don't go to Vancouver, but I almost go to Vancouver to start work every morning. So
similar. I don't take the trip every day because it's about a little over 3 hours round trip to do it. But it's, you know, I got to the point where I was able to take bike trips and just really enjoy it. And it wasn't necessarily fun at first, but it was something that, you know, started out kind of a discipline and a kind of a just.
You don't do it because you like it. You do it because you should.
Yeah, kind of at first. And then it just became something that I really loved to do.
Then you finally got the joy out of it?
Yeah. It was kind of, so it is sort of a conversion story, I guess.
I'm surprised that more people don't talk about the mental effects of going out and being on a bicycle. I mean, maybe they do, but it just seems like you get a lot of like, oh, you're going to get so much exercise when you go out and you start bicycling instead of driving. But there's really like what it does for you, the way you think and your thought patterns. And if you're the kind of person that sometimes, like I am, that gets agitated in traffic or gets agitated when, you know, when someone disobeys the traffic laws or, I mean, you can get agitated with breaking the rules, I think, if you're a bicyclist as well, because you see plenty of that. But
you'll feel the consequences of people breaking those laws.
Right.
Far more splatterly.
It'll be a visceral experience of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it just seems that there's a lot to be said for the mental effects and just kind of feeling better about life and yourself and everything just because you're doing something and you're kind of active.
Yeah.
And I think that is at least as valid of a reason of maybe taking up bicycling as a hobby or a habit or a lifestyle than the physical effects. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a really sort of narrow view of fitness and well-being and what exercise does for you in our country that we always think of it as physical. We think of it as like you get thin or something.
Right.
But I was never, I never really had that problem. I was always thin. And so I thought I didn't need to exercise.
Right.
And that's such a lie. I really did need to exercise.
Paris Hilton. You know, she is thin, but she's not happy.
Right.
Or healthy.
Right. There's a lot more to health than that.
Or sane.
You know, that's actually a very small part of it. So that was kind of a way that I was kind of blinded, I think, by the way our culture sees fitness and health and that.
Right.
So this experience kind of opened broadened my perspective a lot.
Well, and just the psychological,
so to speak.
I see what you did there. Transformation that happens. Fucking hell.
That was terrible.
Yeah. that comes with it. Like, oh my God, this is actually pleasurable to my soul as well. It's like Michael Anderson was saying last week.
Yeah,
about,
of portlandafoot.org.
Thank you, bro.
Actually, he's offering a discount. Brandon, have you heard about this? Listeners of the Sprocket, you can subscribe to Portland Afoot using the discount code Sprocket.
And get a good deal.
Certainly, yeah.
Yes. So,
but as you were saying.
What he was saying, yes, as the Brandon says, that's a really weird inside joke. Fuck. I got totally lost. No. He says that the big thing that he loves about, that was surprising to him about the bicycle culture was he thought they were doing it for political reasons and ecological reasons and all that. And those are good things as well, but he was just ready to just box them in. But really, a lot of folks, it's to see their neighborhood, it's to be more aware of nature and the way we're processing reality at that pace and in that framework.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah.
It does.
Exactly.
Well, we should throw a break in the program real quick. I just heard from my friend Joe Papineau, who I'm doing a brewery bicycle tour with in about a month. It's getting up, coming close.
Yeah.
But he knows some folks from Bellingham, Washington, and it's a band called Lamp Post Revival. It's a song called Mr. Tin Man from their EP, So Rises the Moon. At least as far as I can tell, it's from that EP. But I haven't done all my internet research, so hopefully that's true. Anyways, you can find them on the internet. I'm going to put that address in later because I forgot. At lamppostrevival.blogspot.com.
I was was a lie, I knew everything. I was the king of my own city. Now I'm just a poor man begging for anything. But I'll say, hey, Mr. Tin Man, teach me how to love. Cowardly lion, show me how to roar. Hey, Mr. Scarecrow, teach me all you know. I guess I'm not in Kansas anymore. Now I'm just a lost man wandering towards memories. But I'll say, hey, Mr. Tin Man, teach me how to love. Cowardly lion, show me how to roar. Hey, Mr. Scarecrow, teach me all. I'm not in Kansas anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. I've lost my sense of direction. I've lost my sanity. I've lost all that I've worked for. It's time for I'll say, hey, Mr. Tin Man, teach me how to love. Cowardly lion, show me how to roar. Hey, Mr. Scarecrow, teach me all you know. Guess I'm not in Kansas anymore.
And we are back on the Sprocket Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Wanted to mention, if you do want to get in touch with us, you want to send us your emails, your stories, if you'd like to be on the show yourself, we're not big and fancy. We're just two dudes in a basement.
Alive. That's creepy.
We're two guys in the downstairs of a house. It's a finished basement.
In Felony Flats.
No, man. Nobody likes to call it that.
I mean,
well, okay. I've thought of it as pejorative.
Yeah.
But anyways, we live in Southeast Portland out here. And we'd love to hear your stories. We'd love you to share them with us. It's thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can also call us like Caitlin did and leave us a message. It's 503-847-9774. It's 503-847-9774. And I don't think it spells anything, but it should. That's how you get in touch with us. We also have we got a donate button. If you like what you're hearing, if you want us to get inebriated again, if you want to hear us, if you like us better when we're off of our game, you can send us money. We will use it to buy alcohol, and we will indeed skew the program in your direction.
Sponsor a mediocre episode.
That's right. I was going to say, this is not like a pledge drive.
If you want a lot more, fuck it. I don't remember.
Yeah, if you want more of that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not like a pledge drive like on NPR when they hold your programming hostage until you give them money.
We will only do this show sober.
And well, yeah. And they say, you know, like we'd really love to get you back to your stuff. But first, old telephone's ringing and tell us what NPR means to you. Here's what it means to me. Oh, I just use their name. I'm just talking about public radio in general. Anyways.
And now we're holding our audience captive.
Yes, we are. So we're going to stop that.
But Meredith Stewart has a good story to tell us, doesn't she?
Point well taken, indeed. I should get to the upcoming shows just so people know what's coming. May 30th, it's the end of the holiday weekend next week. Ryan J. Lane, photographer and musical artist and our theme music's writer. He's going to come in and tell us about his self. Grammatically terrible. We got Jason Morgan the week after that with Arbitus Builders, a local and sustainable construction company with a cargo bike. June 13th, John Boblett of Portland Pedal Lounge, which is a bar on a bike. And then after that, Brandon and I are each of us are taking off on our own separate ways. And we've got some summer programming, but that's all to be announced because we're still recording those interviews to assemble shows with later. So that's what's coming up. So
rock on.
Meredith.
Yes.
You have a story about riding a bus and having a misadventure. Would that be the right way to say it?
It was partly a misadventure.
Partly misadventure, partly achieved adventure.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, let's start at the beginning. When did you decide to take an epic bus journey?
Well, I wanted to go on a riding retreat over my spring break, but I think I already told you all I'm cheap and I didn't want to drive up there.
And ecologically conscious.
Yeah. Yes, and ecologically conscious. That too. And anyway, so I wanted to, my friend has his family has a cabin on the Hood Canal that I could stay at for free. And I wanted, it's this beautiful, really peaceful place. I wanted to go up there.
It's up on Hood Canal. It's a great spot. I was actually there. Maybe it was the week after you were there, I think.
Yeah.
But I drove with some friends, so shame on me.
Not as cool. So I wanted to get up there. I didn't want to drive. So I know, Brock, that you have all these all this knowledge about the transit systems up there.
I have a bus fetish.
You do. It's frightening. No, not frightening. It's good.
Frightening works.
Well, I spent a lot of time thinking about buses and where they go and how you can ride them from one place to another. So
yeah, you have this incredible knowledge of bus systems. And
thank you.
Yeah. So I asked you if it was possible to get up there by bus, kind of not really thinking it was, because this is feels pretty remote.
Was that like the question to absolve your conscience? Like, it's okay for me to drive up there because there's no way to get there elsewhere.
Well, I mean, I really was hoping that there was another way to get there. I might not have gone at all if there hadn't been a way to get there by bus. But I was pretty unsure. behold, alas, no, not alas.
Behold, in conveyance.
There was a way. So I decided to go. And I set out the first day very excited, very enthusiastic.
Feeling good about the whole thing.
Yeah, it was. I had just this very adventurous spirit. Here I was going on the bus, and
it's going to be exciting. You were taking your bike along, right?
Yes, I had to take the bike along mainly because the place that I was, the cabin I was going to, was still 11 miles from the town. So,
So the last bus was not your final destination,
right?
And for those who don't know, you're taking this up to Olympia, which is what, about 140 miles away from Portland,
something like that. No, yeah.
Well, I went to Belfair, Washington.
Oh, Belfair. Oh, okay.
Which is past Olympia. North of Olympia, along the Hood Canal.
It's about 170 then. Geez,
it is 161 miles from here.
Meredith has all this written down, by the way. We should say that Meredith was really studious, and I saw you before we started recording at your house, and you were furiously writing, and the smoke was coming off the pen as you jotted down all the details. So
yes, I wanted to be sure I knew what I was talking about.
You're well prepared with the facts and the figures. We appreciate that.
So 161 miles from here to Belfair, Washington, plus another 11 miles to get to the house. But that's 161 miles by car. By bus, who knows how many miles it was.
Yeah.
more. But yeah, so I set out feeling very adventurous. I biked to downtown, caught the C-Tran 105 Express from there. It was
I would imagine that stands for Clark County Transportation, but it's been stylized.
Yes.
At some point, probably in the 1970s.
Yes, the good old
C-Tran.
Yeah,
they sounds awesome.
They have an express bus that goes straight from downtown pretty
Those
much.
Things are great.
They are. They're really awesome.
Those are the nicest transit buses I've ever ridden on.
That is a giant claim.
But they are. They're really good. As far as like something that you can just get on and off of, you don't have to buy a ticket for ahead of time. You don't have to make a reservation. You can just pay your fare, walk on. Uh-huh. It's like $3 right now.
It's $3.25 for the
express
bus.
Yeah, it's been cheaper in the past, but no, they've got like air conditioning and really nice new upholstery, and it still has like almost that new vehicle smell.
It does. It's actually kind of gross.
Reclinable. Like, oh, you don't like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I smell that glue still drying,
still holding everything together.
Yeah, but they are very clean, nice buses.
They have like reclinable seats, like the ones in airplanes almost. Like
it looks like a coach bus, mm-hmm. like you're traveling across country or something, but just to Vancouver.
Like a Greyhound, not like an old Greyhound, but like a new, nice Greyhound.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so took that, 8:15. It takes you to Salmon Creek, which, that's as far as it goes, Salmon Creek Park and Ride.
Yeah, Vancouver is kind of expanding into that neighborhood. I don't know if it's still technically part of the city of Vancouver or not. I don't think it is. But there's like a lot of new development that's going in up there, and yeah,
it all kind of blurs together. So if there's a new town, you don't really realize it.
For sure. At that station, there's a Burgerville,
yes,
which serves beer and wine. It's one of the only ones I know of. Burgerville here is it's a fast food restaurant, but they use really good, conscientiously produced meat, and they talk about using really good energy sources, you know, things that are good for the earth. They're all about community.
And they don't sponsor our show, by the way.
They don't. I'm just really excited about them. They play local music over their speakers. They play bands from the area, which is really
great.
The
Beatles are not a local band, Brock.
Have you heard? Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, that's okay. No, they also have... they have a culture administrator or something like that. Like they actually have someone they hire to make
it's called
like,
marketing.
Yeah.
No, I love them.
But it's really good marketing.
It is. Yeah.
Brandon is feeling cynical.
I'm completely sold.
Anyways, if you take that bus up to Salmon Creek.
So the day started off nice. Huh?
Yes. It was a good day. Yeah. And took the bus, no problems. I was like a little nervous about missing a bus, because if you miss a bus, it's kind of a problem.
It shoots the whole route in the foot, right? Because each bus is kind of dependent on being there on time for the next one.
Yeah. There's a lot of kind of short layovers. So
yeah, it'd be like if you were flying from one place to another, but you had to change planes like 8 times, and your and your transfer time from plane to plane was like 15 minutes.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually I was more nervous about biking to downtown that I was going to get a flat tire and miss the bus downtown. That was what I was most nervous about.
I've never even thought about that. That would actually, that would be lame, first of all, but it would kind of throw off your plans.
Yeah. But the thing that I noticed right away about doing this was that I loved so much was that it sort of allowed you to see something very ordinary with a new perspective that... You know, I had seen downtown Portland before and Vancouver, and I ride a bus a lot of times, most days actually, to get to work. And so it's most of the time just kind of this boring thing that you have to do and the same old scenery kind of thing. But it,
ho-hum.
But taking it to go on a vacation, to go on this long trip, and you weren't, you weren't really sure if it was all going to work out, and you'd never done it before, it made it really into an adventure, and I started seeing things differently, and looking for like beauty in the suburbs,
right? And it does exist. It's hard to find, but
it does.
It's there.
Really, even if you try to pretend that it's not something you've seen before and you look at it with fresh eyes, you can actually see it's very colorful, and there's kind of a weird accidental pattern in the cars that were parked in the parking lot.
They made a trapezoid.
Something like that. And so I really, really enjoyed it for that for that experience of turning something ordinary into something adventurous and exciting, and just the reminder that we can do that in our daily lives if we choose to see the world in that way. We can do it just right where we are.
That's a beautiful thought, Meredith. And we should mention Meredith is also a poet. And I mean, you're also an instructor of English.
I am.
You teach the language.
I do.
But it's the sort of thing that I don't know if I would have put it in those terms. So it's nice to hear. It's actually nice to hear. I always think of the adventure. But the fact that there is indeed beauty from the window of a transit bus is actually also a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So I was really enjoying myself and got, you know, from Salmon Creek, got on. There's a CAP shuttle. CAP stands for something.
Something? I thought it was like Community Action Project. I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's just, it is in the lower Columbia. But yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. It doesn't actually say on my nice little flyer here.
They're like a nonprofit agency, though. They're not, they're not a transit district or anything like that. And I think most of their services that they provide are to the elderly, like people who can't get around any other way. They'll send out shuttles to people, and but they also have this one line that's just public transit. Like you board and you pay, was it like a buck, right?
It's a dollar.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
It's the most amazing thing ever.
A buck?
People, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's one American dollar, U.S. currency.
This is the most amazing thing. I can't believe that I did not know that it existed beforehand. But
See, I was giddy about it when I learned this. I was like, oh, you can go from Vancouver to Longview for a dollar.
Yeah, yeah. It was incredible. People should send these guys money because I fear that they're going to go out of business. This is all going to
or out of nonprofit.
Yes,
I guess.
It's still a nonprofit business. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. We should actually look up if CAP has like a donation area.
I think they do actually.
Because if they do, we could always publicize that. I mean, I'd give them money.
Yeah, if you believe in public transit, these people are like. They're really doing it, you know.
So. Yeah. So how is the CAP shuttle different than the C-Tran?
Well, it's instead of a bus, it is like a shuttle, like a large van,
kind of like an airport or something.
Yeah, yeah. And the seats are kind of just like they're reclining, but it's not like adjustable. It's just like you get to recline if whether you want to or not. Yeah. It's a little odd. Yeah.
They force you to recline. They force you to relax.
Yeah. And when I got on, there was country music just blasting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. That driver, he loves his country station.
And it's loud? It's that loud?
Yes, it was really loud. I mean, it didn't sound as bad once we got on the freeway. But it was like this. And the song that was on was like, you know, just when I thought life couldn't get any harder, I fell in love with the farmer's daughter.
Nice, nice. I was thinking Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Like it was all the classic country songs. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like good old school, like, you know, like Johnny Cash country.
No.
Even Willie Nelson. This is like all that new stuff.
Yeah.
Grumble.
Yeah. So it was definitely not Portland anymore.
Right, right. You've stepped across a cultural threshold.
Yes, basically. Yeah. A lot of, just a few, actually, it was not even full. There were like three or four people. So made a few stops, got to Longview, and the way I had done it, and I discovered later there's a better way to do it, but the way I had done it, I had like a 3-hour layover in Longview.
Oh, really? Three hours?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Indeed. So I discovered there's a quirky little coffee shop in Longview.
And every time I've done this trip, the you know, going north from Portland up towards Olympia, Tacoma, mm-hmm. et cetera, I've never had enough time, I think, to kind of explore the neighborhood. So I don't even know where the coffee shop's at.
If I were only better prepared, I could tell you.
If only you had Google at your fingertips.
I know. If only we had the interweb.
Don't worry about it now.
But
you found this coffee shop and it was awesome.
It was just very quirky. It had like all these plants growing everywhere and all this like vintage 70s furniture, like the sort of octagon table, glass tables.
Nice. And,
the tea, I got a cup of tea, loose leaf tea there for a buck. was very weak. But,
the dollar is, well, it was weak tea. So
it was, yeah. But I think if I had asked, they would have steeped it longer. And all these weird signs about like no sniffling prohibited and we reserve the right to refuse service to sick people.
they were very, very persnickety about their clientele, I suppose.
I guess. I mean, yeah, but they were very nice. And yeah, so hung out there for a while, found a park that I went to, you know, just kind of biked around a little bit at the park. There's a nice kind of path around the park. And yeah, then I made it back to the bus stop in like half an hour before my the next shuttle was leaving for Tumwater. And
Tumwater's a funny name, by the way.
It is a funny name. I just had to say it because it's Tumwater.
It's awesome. And
so I sat down to read, or well, I was going to sit down, and there was this guy smoking in the like enclosed bus shelter.
In the shelter, which most places everywhere now, you're not supposed to smoke inside of something, or especially in transit shelters. That's kind of it's done probably more often than people would like it to be done, but it's also against the rules. So
I'm sure it was, and I could have asked him to put it out maybe or leave, but it was raining, so I felt kind of bad about that. So
right, like he's got nowhere else to go,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, so I just thought I would go over by the building. There was an awning. I could get out of the rain and wait.
You were going to put the kibosh on his good time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did not want to do that, but okay. I should have. So went and waited a little ways away from the stop, but still close enough I could see it, and I sat down to read a book, which I didn't think it was that good a book, but I guess I was kind of absorbed in it because I didn't really realize how much time was passing. And then all of a sudden I look up and I see the shuttle to Tumwater driving away.
Oh no.
Yes.
Oh no.
Yes.
Was it at least a good book? Well, clearly you were lost in it.
It was a good book, but it was a little depressing. I ended up not even finishing it ultimately, the book was not worth missing the shuttle. I'll say that. Yeah. And at first I was kind of in denial. I thought that must have been the shuttle going back to Salmon Creek. It was not the shuttle going back to Salmon Creek.
I can't have possibly missed my ride.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I thought, there must be another way to get to Tumwater. It's not that far away. So I'm like calling Brock. He's like, don't you remember that time we went to Tumwater and you almost like killed your knees? It was so far. I was like, oh,
right.
Yeah.
That was a bicycle journey. It was long and hard. We pushed you, Meredith. We pushed you, I think, harder than we pushed any of our friends. We just kind of, we were in denial ourselves about the length of that bicycle.
Yeah. It was like 70 miles from Longview to Tumwater.
Right.
And, you know, this was like 2:30, so I was not going to be biking to Tumwater
that time of day. It just wasn't viable.
Yeah, it wasn't possible. So and I didn't know anyone in Longview there. I didn't really want to stay
right
in Longview, so basically there was no way for me to make it to Belfair that day. And I was very, very disappointed.
I would imagine. So the whole trip was pretty much kind of done for.
Yeah, well, that's certainly, I wasn't going to have as much time for my trip if I, you know, I couldn't make it there that day. I thought maybe I could make it another day, but I wasn't sure if it was worth it because I would only basically have one day at the
right.
canal. So yeah, I was pretty upset. I was pretty, pretty crushed.
Right.
at first. And then, so I decided I needed to go back to Portland. So I got the cap shuttle again back to Salmon Creek, and then
so you turned around from where you were, you just kind of went back home.
Yeah, basically I went to Longview that day and came back.
There you go. Got some tea.
Yeah, at first I was purely, it was just kind of this pure disappointment, you know, but then and I can't say that I was ever got to a place where I was perfectly content with the way things worked out, but I did kind of just, there were a lot of just sort of good moments on my way back from the trip too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, just the whole day, really. I met so many nice bus drivers, and even the guy playing country music was on the way back. He found, you know, he realized that I had missed the shuttle.
He recognized you from the previous trip.
Yes, recognized me from the previous trip and was like, oh, well, here's the shuttle. Look, if, and he showed me that I wouldn't have to been 3 hours in Longview if I took a later shuttle.
Oh, there you go.
And was very friendly. And, you know, on the way back, the bus racks were full on the C-Tran, and they let one person ride with their bike inside, and then another.
That's right. They do that up there. Yeah. They're kind of stingy about bike space down here. We've talked about that, I think, some on one of our episodes before. Uh-huh. But yeah, DryMet here in Portland won't let you bring your bike inside the bus if the racks are full.
Yeah.
I assume because DryMet's always full of people inside. Mm-hmm. C-Tran, I think, probably typically has more space inside their buses, and so they'll let you bring your bike in if there's no space for it on the outside racks.
Yeah, if it's kind of at the bus driver's discretion, usually if there's some handicapped people, people in wheelchairs or something, there's not room for a bike, so they don't do that.
But, right, they can't like safely accommodate everyone.
Right, but they did this time, and so that was really nice. And then we pulled up to another stop, and there was another bike wanting to get on, and there was no room this time. And so I said, well, you know, my day is shot. I have my plans are ruined anyway. So
look at you.
I was able to like let this other guy get a ride.
You made
back,
someone's day
so.
Better.
Yeah, so, you know, and he was so appreciative, and that was really great. And, oh, someone gave me a bus ticket, like their C-Tran bus pass.
Really?
Just gave it to me, so that saved me $3.25.
This is a day full of paying it forward.
Yeah, so that was really sweet.
Except for the weak tea, yeah. And the no sniffling.
Yeah, well, that woman even let me use the employee bathroom. So,
oh, well, there you
know.
Go.
It was, yeah, and then...
Did you sniffle in the bathroom so as not to do it in the shop?
Well, I was not sniffling, fortunately.
That's good.
Yes, but... and then on my bike ride back from downtown, I ran into John at the pizza cart, and...
Oh, it's our friend John Eads, who's been on as a guest before. Episode 16, I believe.
Yes, he was on as a guest, and so he gave me some pizza in exchange for picking up a package for him, and...
Oh, my goodness. This turns out to be the best day ever.
Yeah.
Even though you thought it was the worst.
Yeah. So then I got home and my housemates all took me out for a drink at the 72nd pub.
And it just keeps getting better and better.
And yeah. And so by the end of the day, I was able to say that, yeah, no, this was actually a really good day. Even though it was definitely not the day that I had planned. So that was sort of the misadventure part
right,
of the adventure.
Right.
But
so then you turned around the next day and you tried the trip again.
Yes.
And that time you made it.
That time I made it. I paid attention. It really does require you to pay attention.
You crack down on the smokers, tell them to extinguish their butts.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's a reason people drive cars. They are much simpler in the sense
Right. It's very much self-determined. You can go anywhere you want to at any time.
You don't have to rely on a bigger system.
Right, exactly. You're not relying on someone else's schedule. It doesn't just drive away when you're not paying attention. You know, your car stays put when you're reading a book.
Well, it's Knight Rider.
I was going to say Knight Rider or Herbie the Love Bug.
That's right.
But yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's why we pay so much for gas and why... and for cars and why we do it. But so it was really nice to kind of just realize that, yeah, this was part of the experience, was the possibility that you're not going to get where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it, that you're not choosing the convenient, easy route, that it's just going to all magically happen for you. You have to pay attention, and when it doesn't work out, you have to learn some contentment and, like, try and find the good in that anyways, you know.
Yeah,
it's not
always
easy, but I think it was worth it, you know. So.
Sure. You're not taking the easy route as much, perhaps, but you're taking the poetic route, and you're taking the route that makes you notice the little things in life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
That's pretty great. How was the... Did you get some good writing done while you were there?
I did, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I only had a day there, pretty much, instead of two, because that little snafu.
Yeah.
And that part was maybe the hardest part, was really the next day when I was like, and I just didn't want to leave. I wanted to be there longer because it was so beautiful. But, you know, I got some good writing done, made it up there the whole trip, all, you know, 3 days. And that all cost me $18.85.
That's not bad. That's less than a tank of gasoline.
Yes.
Far less, I think, these days than a tank of gasoline. So that's not bad.
Exactly.
And you have the story to tell afterwards.
Right. Yeah. Right.
The free pizza and beer.
Well, I had a couple of websites that we should point people to if they're interested in trying something similar to this. If you got a couple of days on your hands, you got a couple, maybe a couple of weeks, or perhaps you're unemployed and you just want to go out and ride buses around and see what's out there. EpicTransitJourneys.com. They've got some timetables worked out. It's a wiki. And so that means, you know, anybody that has information about a transit system can submit their information. They've got awesome information about all kinds of things, how to get from Yakima to the Tri-Cities and Walla Walla and back again.
Nice.
And many other places. Rebelsbybus.net. There are a couple of ladies up in Olympia that put together just how to get around the Olympic Peninsula, which has a lot of great spots. And you can do that, I think, in 3 days by public transit, and it's cheap. So that's something I've been wanting to try out for a while. Portlandafoot.org, of course, that's our good friend from last week, who we already mentioned, who has a transit magazine, and it's pretty great. And then I created my own site, which has a URL that is too long and difficult to remember. So I'm just going to put a link up on the sprocketpodcast.com, and you can find it there. But I've done a little bit of research and writing about this myself. So if you'd like to know how to get around the Northwest without a car, by transit, you can do that. So, well, we're just about ready to sign off. But Brandon, you want to tell us about the beer? You have an assessment, I believe.
Oh yes, I do. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So once again, the Fire Station 5 Fireboat Amber Ale. Well, I'll give you one of the things I circled. As y'all may recall from the last episode, Candace got us a rate that beer sheet.
Candace, so. Your fiance.
Yes. And yeah, it's a rate that beer sheet, and I can grade it on label, color, clarity, head aroma, so on. So tonight I will tell you that the option I circled for aroma was rich enough for Fireside.
Nice.
So yeah. It was a good beer.
Yeah,
it was a good beer.
I was quaffing it out of a mason jar.
There we go.
Perfect. Just out of the mason jar and having had it poured, it did smell very wonderful. It had a pleasing aroma wafting towards my nose, and I can agree
wafting?
With that.
Wafting.
Wafting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wafting.
Wafting. Thank you.
Wafting.
Long A.
That's why Meredith is here, is to make sure the pronunciations come through correctly.
You and your Puyallup dialect.
Seriously. You know, Meredith, you should be here and just kind of sit in the background for most of our shows and just make sure I say things
and
correctly.
Just murmur corrections.
Yeah, correct your grammar.
Without mercy.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just about ready to wrap our program up. We thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming along around for another show.
Thank you.
You can find us, of course, on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. We got our own website, our own domain name. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, or drinks. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can call, leave us your personalized voicemail. We will share it with the world at 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. And we will look forward to catching you on another edition of this very fine podcast, The Sprocket. Thanks. Zach Galifianakis. Perfect. And then Meredith?
Yes, that's me.
Say Zach Galifianakis.
Zach Galifianakis.
Fat guy from The Hangover.
In a little code.
In a big...
There's a quality movie right there.
Did you actually like that one?
I didn't actually see it. I'm just making fun of you.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. It's not as raunchy. It's not that raunchy.
I actually think I've heard that it was better than the title suggests.
Yeah, and the ads. Like, it wasn't hysterical, but, like, it was... I wasn't going to say because I thought it was going to be a launch
pad. We're talking Tommy Boy, right?
No.
No, we're talking The Hangover.
The Hangover.
Okay.
Yeah.